Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now sing together Psalm 5, the stanzas 4 and 5. We will now listen to the declaration of God's 10 covenant words. Thereafter, we sing together Psalm 5, the stanzas 3, 8, and 9. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but 7 days the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Later time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he was questioned concerning the greatest of these commandments, and in his answer, he summed them all up when he spoke these words. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We will now humble ourselves before the Lord in prayer. Almighty, faithful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have gathered us here together as your children. We thank you, Lord, because we know that we do not deserve this continual blessing. We do not deserve it. Because in various ways we have offended you. Lord, we thank you that in spite of our many weaknesses and sins, you continue to look upon us in a fatherly way. We pray that you will graciously forgive us our iniquities. Wash us clean in the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we acknowledge that too often we undermine and do not really acknowledge how grievous our sins and iniquities really are in your sight. Pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, that we may acknowledge you to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that all honor, praise, and glory is due to your great and holy name. Lord, we pray that you will look upon us as a humble people, depending entirely on the sacrifice that your Son has made. Strengthen us, Lord, by your Spirit, that we may more and more live as your children in an honorable way. Strengthen us, therefore, also again today through the opening and proclamation of your holy word. Grant that that word may penetrate our hearts, and we may apply it in our daily walk of life. Strengthen us, Lord, that we may know the riches of your mercy and the great love that you have shown to us all. Be not only with us gathered together over here at this place. We pray for your churches that are gathered together throughout the world. Grant your servants the strength that they may proclaim your word and be with your children. Grant that they may continue to embrace it. In a particular way, we remember your children that are gathered together under difficult circumstances. For Lord, we thank you for the great blessings that you give to us and the many opportunities and the prosperity that you continue to grant. We pray that you will be near your children who are suffering because of economic difficulties and stress, who are gathered together in secret because of persecution. Be near to them. Lord, we pray that you will hear us in all these things. In Christ's name, amen. You're not given the opportunity to bring your offerings to the Lord, which this morning is for the work of deacons. After the offertory, we will sing together Psalm 103, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 7. We now open God's word. We first turn to Exodus chapter 20. Then turning to the letter to the Ephesians, we read chapter 1, the verses 1 through 6. First turning to Exodus 20, beginning with verse 18, we read to the end of that chapter. Let me remind you that over here in the passage we are reading, the Lord had directed his people Israel to be gathered together at Mount Sinai. He himself spoke from the mountain, the 10 covenant words that we have just heard this morning. And then we continue to read now, reading God's word, beginning with verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you do not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'You have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it.'" Now turn to the letter to the Ephesians. Here we read the first 6 verses, and again, listen to God's word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Our text for this morning is the first 2 verses of this letter. We will read those verses again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Initially, you might be a bit surprised at our text because it is the opening and introduction to this letter. And you might think, well, it's just the opening of a letter. Does the letter itself not contain the message itself? And certainly the letter contains a beautiful and encouraging, necessary message. However, the opening and introduction is important. Let me remind you of the importance as well. Every church service begins with the words of the second verse of this letter, or similar words from different letters in Scripture. This morning, too, after the votum, recognition and public acknowledgement that our help is in the name of the Lord, you heard this greeting. At times a minister will introduce it as, "The Lord greets you." Should not be necessary, really. Because normally we do not say, "I greet you," and then give the greeting, "Hello, good morning, how are you," for example. But we give the greeting immediately. That's how this letter opens as well. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we hear it at the opening of every church service, it may be good for us to give it some attention. Therefore, this morning your attention is directed to the Lord's greeting for you. And we pay attention, first of all, to how this greeting is brought. Secondly, by whom this greeting is given. And the third place, the comfort that this greeting is. Striking that this letter and some other letters open that way as well, with the name of the Apostle Paul. He begins by saying, "Paul, an apostle." Initially, you might think, well, why does he begin with his own name? Does he draw attention to himself? You might think further, well, normally, when we write a letter to someone, our name appears at the bottom, not at the beginning. Having said that, reflecting on it, it should not appear that strange to us either. For if you receive an official letter from some kind of business, or even from the church, or from a classes or a synod, does it not come with a letterhead right on the top of the page? Right away, you know from whom this letter came. It should be noted as well that Paul does not put his own name at the top of the letter, but he adds, "Paul, an apostle." Apostle, let me remind you, if you look it up in a Greek-English dictionary, will show that an apostle is a messenger, someone that has been sent or commissioned. The apostle straight away puts himself in the background, not to the fore. Paul, an apostle, a messenger of whom? Of Jesus Christ. And note that he straight away adds as well, by the will of God. It is not something that he had determined for himself. He was appointed by God. And here, of course, we may recall the history of how the Lord had chosen this servant in a very special way. You know the history of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, the Lord stopping him. He was persecuting the church. The Lord taking hold of him and making him into his servant. This is therefore no ordinary letter. But you can say a letter with the letterhead from God's own message, or rather, from the messenger of Jesus Christ. That the Lord sent a messenger like this should not appear so strange to us either. Indeed, from the beginning the Lord had spoken more directly, perhaps, to Adam, Eve, to Noah. But even Noah, he was appointed as God's special messenger. The Lord spoke more directly to Abram. But again, Abram was to bring God's message to his people. And the prophets, were they not appointed to bring God's message continually? It is with this in mind, recognizing how the Lord had appointed various people at various times to bring his message, that we read from Exodus 20. For in a way, you might say that Exodus 20 and the events that are described there is like an exception. You know the history there as well. The Lord had made a special promise for Abraham and his children. The children of Abraham had been caught up in Egyptian slavery. And the Lord now gathers them together as his own special people. Yes, in the past the Lord had gathered special people together as well. We read of Noah. We read of Abraham. But especially in this context, where the Lord had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, we start reading about God's people being assembled together as his own. It's true. We can and do confess about the Lord's church from the beginning of ages. Nevertheless, here in a particular way, Scripture reveals how the Lord is busy in progressing his work for the salvation of his people by gathering them together as a special assembly. After his gathering of his people together at Mount Sinai, they had to follow instruction concerning the building of the tabernacle, and then later on it became a temple when they were settled into the promised land. It was in this context that they continued to gather together as his children. When the Lord gathered his children together at Mount Sinai, he had given particular instruction concerning how this gathering is to take place. They were all to be prepared. They had to clean themselves. They had to put on clean clothes. In other words, they had to be prepared to meet with the holy, mighty, majestic God. And then it happened. They were there at the mountain. Boundaries had to be set up. People could not approach the Lord too close. There was sound of thundering and there was lightning, earthquake. They heard the voice of God himself speak. He spoke the 10 covenant words. We speak about 10 covenant words because later on in Old Testament scripture, they're always referred to as God's 10 words or his covenant words. They speak about God's special bond with his special people. God appeared on the mountain and he spoke in the thunder and with the lightning and the earthquake, and the people became scared, understandably. They became so scared, we are told, that they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, verse 19, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you." In other words, the Lord purposely appeared in this way, that his people would fear him in the sense of showing great respect and recognition who he really is. Is it not in this context? And may we not add, in listening and accepting their plea, that afterwards the Lord continued to speak to his people through Moses, rather than in this direct and scary, frightening, awesome way. They have pleaded, "Lord, please speak through your servant Moses. We will hear you speak." Later on, told of how the Lord did appear to some of his prophets. For example, Isaiah chapter 6. When the Lord had appeared to Isaiah in a vision, he appeared in a mighty, holy, awesome way as well. Isaiah saw him on his throne. He fell down before him. He said, "Woe is me, for I am a dead man. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." Yes, the Lord did something about it. He touched an angel, sent an angel to touch Isaiah's lips with the coal of the altar. But again, it shows how awesome God really is in his majesty and glory. Other prophets to which we can refer as well, Ezekiel 2, when he was shown by way of visions God's majesty and glory. Think of the visions in Revelation 2, because it's important for us to keep in mind that the Lord remains the same God. Yes, Christ Jesus is God too, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was among us as a man, among men. He talked with his disciples as a man, among men. We're told how he had humbled himself in this way. At one time on the mountain, he did appear somewhat in his glory, when he was shown to speak with Elijah and Moses. But think of the vision shown in Revelation as well to the Apostle John. When the Lord is shown there in these visions again, it is in a very majestic and holy, awesome way. Such a way that we are told of how angels, creatures, elders bow down to worship him day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And you are worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. God, the awesome God. May we therefore not suggest that when in this letter the Lord speaks through his apostle, that it is continuation and a setting forth of the church's plea, let Moses speak and we will listen to him. Let him speak your word. Even Moses himself, as we are told in the letter to the Hebrews, upon reflection, chapter 13, we are told of it. Sorry, chapter 12, verse 21. Reflection on what happened at Mount Sinai. It was so terrifying in his sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Afraid and trembling. That letter to the Hebrews begins in this way. That in various ways in times past, the Lord had spoken through his prophets. The Lord speaks through his servants. Compare it therefore to how might happen in a family at home. Mother is busy in the house, and the older sibling just happens to come inside, and she says to her, tell your brothers and sisters to clean up the toys. And he goes outside and he says, Mom says we must clean up the toys. Mom says. The other siblings straight away know that it is not just simply big brother's mess, own words. It is mother's message. Mother says, pick up the toys. May we not understand verse 2 of our text that way? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, emphasizing that he is his messenger, his servant, and now he says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it is not his own message, is it? It's a message he has been sent to give. It's true for this greeting. That first of all, and keep it in mind, beloved, every time you hear it at the beginning of every church service. It's God's message for you. Our text specifically says it. Grace to you and peace, not from Paul, not from the apostles, not from the consistory, not from the minister, but from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the second place, we give some attention. By whom this greeting is given? Hopefully you already understood. It is a greeting given by God himself. But we notice further. It does not simply say from God in a bit of an impersonal way. But the message is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This. From our Father implies that he is the God of us to whom this letter is addressed, to whom this greeting is addressed. And may we not say in the context of us being gathered together here as God's people. It is God's word for us. God's word for us who are gathered here together as His children, as His church. For we note as well, in the first verse of this letter, it is specifically addressed, not just to anyone, everyone, addressed to the saints. That is, to the holy ones. That's what saints are. To those who have been purified by the blood of Christ. And therefore, again, we can compare this to how the Lord had gathered His people together at Mount Sinai. His people. For this letter is not written to Ephesians everywhere, anywhere, anytime. No, it is written to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have already suggested that this applies also to us today. We make that suggestion because in the letter to the Colossians, for example, near the end of the letter, instruction is given to also read the letter sent to the Laodiceans, and that you are to send this letter to the Colossians and have it read among them too, an exchange of letters. Did that not happen more? As a matter of fact, there are quite a number of manuscripts of this letter that have been found where the name Ephesus is missing. It's been suggested it's missing because it was understood that this is a message for every church, anywhere, at all times. And is that not what this message in this letter is about? Note as well, when we begin reading the content of this letter, it begins by expressing gratitude to the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him. Note, as He chose us. So indeed, it is addressed to God's own people, His church, His people. Yes, it may happen. And of course, they're always welcome to be here. There may be guests. But it is not addressed to the guests as such. In this context, let me remind you too that when the Lord had instructed the children of Israel to be gathered together around the tabernacle and temple, there was a special place for the guests. The Lord speaks at the beginning of this letter about those whom have been chosen in Him, His people. And then reading further through this letter, it becomes much more clear that He addresses those who have believed, those who are gathered together as His own chosen children. They are referred to as the body of Christ, the church. That's who we are. God is not just a father of randomly everyone. He is the Father of those who believe. Those who put their confidence in Christ Jesus. And therefore, notice as well, our text speaks about our Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior. Does this not add great encouragement to this greeting that is here at the beginning of this letter? It is not just any God greeting anyone. It is God who looks upon us in His great mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who brings these words through His messenger. It's true. This applies to all parts of Scripture, like The apostle, the same apostle, wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 1. He speaks of how they had received the message. Chapter 2, verse 13. You received the word of God which you heard from us. You welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Therefore, it remains important, too, that whenever we read Scripture, God's word, that we do not insinuate and suggest this is Paul, this is Peter, this is John, this is Isaiah, this is Moses, these men. No. Yes, the Lord spoke through these men. The Lord spoke through these men. Are we not also told in Scripture that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for our way of life, that we apply it in our daily walk? Again, think of the comparison used to a mother sending the older sibling. Older sibling goes there with the message. Mom says, clean up the toys. And in comparison to Moses, further detail could be given through this older brother. Like, those toys must go in this place, the bigger toys, the bikes, the trikes, must go in the shed, for example. That kind of more detailed instruction. Does the Lord, through His servants, not give detailed instruction as well? Therefore, be very careful that you do not suggest or insinuate, well, this is just what Paul happens to think, and maybe James was a little bit different. No, it is the same God, the same Lord, who gives His same message through His various servants. Again, let me remind you of Hebrews 1, verse 1. The Lord spoke in various ways to you. The Lord spoke this greeting to you as well. The Lord as your Father, who cares for you in a fatherly way. And who comes to you as a Father in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though He had not yet come, was it not in His commitment to come that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mount Sinai already? And was it not in the context of His commitment to come that the Lord had given instruction concerning the tabernacle, the temple, the priestly order, the sacrifices, foreshadowing who He would be and what He would accomplish? Certainly is. And therefore, always keep in mind a message addressed to God's own children, the saints. A note as well, when this is addressed in this letter, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful. Meaning that they trust Him. That they are in a bond of trust in Christ. And know well, Christ the Anointed One. The Prophet, the Priest, the King. Jesus the Savior. It's not without good reason that the name is given in this way at the end of verse 1. Faithful in Christ Jesus. And when the greeting is given, that His name again is added in its full, complete way. First speaking about Lord, Master, the one to whom we give obedience. Lord, Jesus, Savior, Christ, Prophet, Priest, King. Message from Him. And therefore, in the third place, we note the content of that message and greeting. Grace to you and peace. Mount Sinai, with the thundering and lightning, people becoming afraid and terrified, God showed and proved that He is the mighty, the holy, the awesome God. That remains. He is the mighty, the holy, the awesome God. The only way in which we can dare to approach Him is through Christ Jesus. But that is what makes these words so very comforting and beautiful. Grace to you and peace. Grace, meaning undeserved favor. Sense of, after having offended the Lord, that the Lord still comes back to us and grants us forgiveness from all our sins through Christ. Grace to you. And peace. One might suggest the consequence of forgiveness. That there is now rest between God and His people. No longer a threat of punishment. Think, for example, how upon His resurrection, the Lord Jesus appeared to His disciples at various times. At every time when He suddenly appeared among them, we are told they were afraid. They had good reason to be afraid. The Lord Jesus had instructed them, He had told them, He informed them of how He must suffer, how He would die, how He would be raised from the dead. And they all fled away when He died. They betrayed, Peter betrayed Him. Didn't deny that he knew Him. Just like Adam at the beginning. When after having eaten from the forbidden tree along with Eve, they hid themselves afraid. Do we not also have every reason to be afraid? Unless the Lord forgives us our sins and trespasses, we certainly do, beloved. We already mentioned the visions in Revelation. By those visions, the Lord does not only speak of how He gathers His people together through the blood of Christ and washes their garments so that they are white, but He also speaks about judgment upon the wicked, those who do not repent. Knowing that kind of distinction, how beautiful it is. How encouraging it was to the disciples when after His resurrection, He appeared to them and they were scared. He said, "Peace to you." Reflects the well-known Hebrew word shalom. Peace between God and you. Be at ease. It's well. Don't worry. Judgment for you has been put aside. Is this not a most comforting and beautiful way in which every Sunday, twice, we may be gathered together, beginning with these kind or similar words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand well how blessed you are that you may be in the assembly where these words are pronounced. In the assembly of God's people, addressed with this beautiful, encouraging, grace-filled greeting and blessing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also to go home with the further blessing. Yes, pronounced through God's servant, but God's blessing for you. Amen. In thankfulness, we will now sing together Psalm 93, stanzas 1 and 4. Consistory passes on the following announcements. First of all, Consistory will meet with the deacons tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. Election for elder and deacon will take place after this morning's service. With thankfulness to the Lord, Shanae Berkelaar, Nadine Bosvelt, Vaughn Decker, Jordan Gertz, and Jared Plug have requested to publicly profess their faith. After examining their knowledge and motivation, the consistory thankfully grants their request. If no lawful objections are raised, public profession of faith will take place, the Lord willing, on the 25th of November in the afternoon church service. We will now unite in prayer. In prayer this morning, we will remember Brother Eric DeHaan and Brother Brian Bosvelt. They are both in Sumba visiting the mission posts this week. We also express our gratitude to the Lord for granting Brother and Sister Amos and Dennis Schutt being blessed with a healthy baby boy. They have named him Zephaniah Amos. We will unite in prayer. Father who art in heaven, we again humble ourselves before you with great gratitude. We thank you that we could be gathered here together and recognizing that our help is only in your name. Receive a beautiful greeting conveyed through your messenger, through your messengers in the past and still today. Lord, we remain astounded that you look upon us in this great and wonderful way. Will you strengthen us that we may embrace this blessing with great thankfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to gather your churches together throughout the world, also in Sumba. We pray that you will be with the brothers who are there at this time visiting the various mission posts. Will you give them safe travels? Grant them everything that they need to speak as much as they can among these churches and this work that is done there. We thank you, Lord, that we may be involved with this kind of work. And continue to pray for the churches in Sumba and in other areas of this world that are struggling in various ways. We thank you, Lord, that we may put our confidence in you. Because we, as your churches too, even though we have many opportunities and much wealth, continue to struggle in various ways as well. We struggle because of our own weaknesses and sins and at times unfaithfulness. Lord, we pray that you will work mightily among us as your people. That adds as well to our thankfulness and gratitude for granting that we may be gathered together every Sunday again, twice. We thank you, Lord, that you've also granted brother and sister Schut a healthy baby boy. Continue to be with them in bringing up this, your child, that you have entrusted to them. Yes, we thank you that we may speak in this way, that children born from among us belong to you. For when lambs are born among the sheep that belong to your flock, from the day of their birth, they are yours. We pray, Lord, that you will grant that in due time this may be confirmed as well by baptism. We thank you that by baptism our children may be distinguished from the children of unbelievers. And in that way, you continue to confirm that we all belong to you as your people, your congregation that you have bought with the precious blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, that you will look upon each and every one of us in the various circumstances of our life. You know that at times we are saddened because we have lost loved ones. We pray that you will continue to be with the widows and the widowers in their loneliness. Be with families that must miss a child or a sibling. Continue to comfort and encourage them. And grant, Lord, that they never lose sight of the great comfort that was brought to them when it all happened. The comfort of knowing that our loved ones are not gone, but remain with you. That there's nothing, not even death, that can separate us from the love that you have shown to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will graciously look upon all your children, also those who are seriously ill. If it pleases you, will you grant recovery and restoration? But above all, confidence in you, that you will never let any of us go, that you as a good shepherd will continue to take care of us as our Father, and that you do so in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you put it in the hearts of young members to confess their faith and acknowledge you, to affirm in the midst of your people and congregation that it is their heart's desire to put their confidence and trust in you and in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that it is you who puts it in their hearts. We pray that you will strengthen them when the time comes to make their vows, strengthen them to keep those vows as well. We thank you that you continue to preserve and guide your churches through office bearers. Grant that faithful men may be elected and chosen to continue this work. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the elections. Grant that faithful men may continue to give guidance and direction to us. Be therefore with the consistory meeting tomorrow evening as well. Bless the deliberations and decisions that are made there. Lord, we look to you to continue to preserve us as your people and children. When we ask all these things from you, we acknowledge how undeserving we really are. At the same time, we thank you very much we may ask all these things in the name of your Son, our great high priest and redeemer and savior. Hear us in Christ's name. Amen. We will now sing together Psalm 138, the stanzas 1 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.